if I pitched it to you, if I elevated pitched it to you, I say, all right, we have a doctor. He infuses a rose with Godzilla cells to make a hybrid plant. And this hybrid plant turns into a monster and is able, this plant is able to fight Godzilla. That's terrible sounding. Hello, everyone, and welcome to another exciting edition of the Brothers Movie Factory. I'm your host, Ben. With me, as always, the brother of the Brothers Movie Factory.
Mickey Segusa.
Mickey Segusa, Japanese idol, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, yeah. Personal life idol.
What?
Personal life, me?
Okay. I was like, who? Like, personal life idol. I'm like, what's that supposed to mean?
Got John Cena. Got Jesus. Got Mickey Segusa.
You're like, I just want to talk to plants.
Plants. What did you see, Clarice? What did you see? Plants.
Why that? Indeed, Gus over there joining me, brother of the brother of the brother of the brothers in Godzilla Movie Factory and that. And if you're new to the show, if you're new to the podcast here, where you been? But also on top of that, what we do every week is we watch a film. We then take the pod to discuss said film, what we liked, what we didn't, what worked, what didn't. We then submit that movie to the factory. That's where we take the film we just watched, and we imagine what it would look like if it came out today. Same film, just modern booking, new actors, new actresses, new directors, etc., etc. And then we move on to a little bit of a questiony time. Now, much like a Charizard to a Charmeleon to a Charmander, in reverse order. I don't know why I started that way.
The show's getting worse and worse is what you're getting at.
Yeah, the podcast has evolved. It's evolved, and so has the factory. So every now and again, the factory might be a little different. We might do different things with the factory. And you know what? It's our show. So back off. But I don't even know if anyone's yelling at us, but here we are.
And you can say it in a nicer way in that this was month of March, your birthday month. I tortured you at the beginning, but here we are at the end of your birthday month, and I gave you a gift of Godzilla, with Godzilla versus Kong coming out, time of recording, coming out
tomorrow,
Wednesday, the 31st. So with that on the horizon, we got your birthday gift I gave to you, which was let's do a podcast on any Godzilla movie you want. The 20 plus, or is it 30 plus now? I can't even recall. Godzilla movies. And you chose a very almost one would say peculiar in that it's not very well known. And that's Godzilla versus Biollante from 1989. I had a couple people reach out to me who heard last week's episode. Why Godzilla versus Biollante, or why Godzilla versus whatever the hell, because I never heard of it. And I said, actually, you know what? It's not a bad idea, because, yes, we talk about what we want to talk about typically, but in that, like, what is relevant to the time. But we've mentioned in the past, we would like to highlight movies that we feel are lesser known, underappreciated. And we mostly do that with anime movies. We haven't done a whole lot, but, I'll guess I'll announce it now. March was Ben's birthday month. Next month is anime month. April 15th is known as Anime Day.
April Fools, we're watching
Blade Runner again.
It's the month of Blade Runner. Four episodes, all talking about Blade Runner.
Every cut of Blade Runner. I had a buddy who's listened to the pod last week. He's like, your brother fucking hates Blade Runner. I'm like, yeah.
Like, hey, I appreciate it, though.
We appreciate your listen. With anime month,
beaches will be open.
We're going to highlight some anime films that I feel could be just for fun, adapted into live action movies. But we'll get to that those beasts next month. But this beast tonight, Godzilla versus Biollante. You got to pick this
right,
one.
I believe it says it right on the cover, something like a Titanic collision between beasts or something like that.
That sounds about right. Yes, you picked this movie. You had to pick the litter, and you chose this one. Tell the folks why.
It was kind of a pick of not necessity. That's the wrong word. But a pick that was more stoked by the fact that this movie is incredibly hard to find. I very commonly I'll find myself 2-3 in the morning, and I just get in the mood for a Godzilla movie, and I don't necessarily know why. It just happens quite frequently where I'll be like, I find them almost, because they're so silly and goofy, but they're very serious at the same time, and they're just a fun time to watch them, and kind of enjoy this, like, campy cheesiness, and so they're cozy to me. And my favorite, what I probably should have picked, is Godzilla, Mothra, King Ghidorah, GMK. Which you just bought today.
Say the whole title. Say the whole title for the folks.
Godzilla, Mothra, King Ghidorah, Giant Monsters, All Out Attack?
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
That is the true title.
Or GMK, you know, to the layperson. That's my favorite one. I think that's the best Godzilla movie. That's my overall favorite Godzilla movie. It's one of my favorite incarnations of Godzilla. But Godzilla vs. Biollante is a movie that you can't find digitally. It is not out there. You cannot find Godzilla vs. Biollante legally, digitally. It's Don't a hard worry. One to watch. And what's interesting...
for you.
What's that?
I dusted it off for you.
Yeah. Well, what's interesting about it, and this all stemmed, literally, the Biollante, it's funny, because Gus didn't tell me we were doing this until, you know, last week, and just a few days prior, I was in the mood to watch a Godzilla movie. It was like 2 in the morning, and I decided that I was going to watch Godzilla versus Megalon. I didn't want to. But it was the only one I had easy access to that was English dub, because I was going to sleep to it, so I didn't want to watch dub or subbed. And I looked up on my phone Godzilla movies and streaming platforms, and there was an article that was every single Godzilla movie and where to find it streaming. And Biollante was one of the few that you can't watch, and Biollante is kind of a tipping point in this era of Godzilla, where they have Godzilla 1984 or Godzilla Returns, whichever one you want to call it,
or Godzilla 1985
or 85 rather.
Well, no, it's eight. We'll talk about that. So
yeah, I was gonna say the one you gave me says 84.
Well, yeah, yeah. Here's the difference. So back in 1975 or 74, I can't remember. we had Terror of Mechagodzilla, which was the last Godzilla film in what was known as the Showa era. That's the old school Godzilla stuff. And one, they were running out of money, and they felt like they might have bled the franchise dry. So they finished it up with Terror of Mechagodzilla. 9-10 years later, they decided to reboot the franchise with Godzilla 1984 or Return of Godzilla or Godzilla 1985. And the differences in those titles, Godzilla 1984 is the Japanese title. Or maybe it's the Return of Godzilla is the Japanese title. I can't remember. The 1984 is the English dub. But then in 1985, when they actually did bring it to the States to like show in theaters, they did what they did in the original movie in Gojira, where they made Gojira, and then they made King of Monsters, or King of the Monsters, where they added in scenes with Raymond Burr, and they also just changed the flow of the movie. They did that with Godzilla 1985. They changed the flow of the movie, and they added in scenes with Raymond Burr.
Thank God.
The version I gave you doesn't have that one.
Gotcha.
Unfortunately, that's the one we grew up with. That's the one we have on VHS, but on DVD, it's just those older versions, which are regarded as the better versions. But then it was very successful in Japan, 1984. And then they were getting gearing up to do the next movie, But then King Kong Lives. Do you recall this movie? King Kong Lives.
Is that the one where he's in the water tower?
Yeah.
Nice. Yes, I do.
That show.
I think I saw that on Turner Classics movie, Classic Movies once.
Hey, they give him a robot heart.
Yeah. Yeah.
They showed that movie in Japan, and it had horrible box office numbers. So the producers were afraid that, you know, maybe the world isn't doesn't want monster movies anymore. And then Little Shop of Horrors came out, and it was a pretty big success. And then it was coming up on the 35th anniversary of Godzilla. So they're like, all right, we're going to make another movie. And what they did was they wanted fresh ideas. So they created a poll. And this is still 1986. They created a poll for someone to basically write the idea for the next Godzilla movie. They had over 5,000 entrants, 10 finalists, and the person they chose was some dentist who did some screenwriting on the side. He was a huge fan of Godzilla and Ultraman. And he wrote a rough version, very rough version of what we got to see in Godzilla versus Biollante. However, that was all, I'm mixing up my facts, but that was all done prior to them being like, you know what, maybe we shouldn't make this movie. So when they picked it up 3 years later, they used that guy's idea, sorta, but then just changed it almost entirely. Some things stayed. I think the idea of someone being a clairvoyant and the plant monster idea, I think, stayed. Could be wrong on that. But yeah, it was kind of a weird tale of the movie that almost wasn't in Godzilla vs. Biollante.
And that's the thing, though, is that it kind of it's a turning point in this era, because from this movie you get introduced to Miki Sagusa, who is this ESP like psychic kind of deal, who can almost speak with Godzilla, and has this like clairvoyance to her. She's in most of the movies in this whole era, if not all of them.
From this point on, yeah.
And then it also introduces us to Biollante, who has, outside of Space Godzilla, I'm not sure if it has any impact, but in Space Godzilla, that's where, like, Space Godzilla came from, is the cells from Biollante went up into the sky, went into space, got sucked into a black hole, and boom, you got Space Godzilla, because it makes sense, damn it.
And you know what else makes sense? That is one of two theories that they even say in the plot of the movie. They're like, the two theories are that one that you just mentioned, or when Godzilla battles Mothra and Mothra flies into space, some of Godzilla's spores fell off. Or maybe it's both happening at the same time.
Yes.
That's like actual plot details in that. In Godzilla vs. Space.
I was very tired when I watched Space Godzilla last. I barely made it through Godzilla vs. Destroyer that night. This movie's like a turning point, which is interesting that it's not as well known, but also not really easily accessible. I don't think it's like the best Godzilla movie by any sense of the means. I also don't think it's like tremendous. I probably wouldn't rank it in my top 10, but I do appreciate a lot of the things it does and the things it attempts to do. I like, too, that I'm gonna be wrong. Outside of like humans creating something to fight Godzilla with, I think this might be the first time that the monster is almost more on the side of the humans to a degree. Outside of Mechagodzilla,
like a Mechagodzilla, yeah.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like humans created them, kind of deal. Like,
well,
do you think of another monster where that happens?
Mm-hmm. I can going old school. Godzilla versus Mothra, Godzilla versus the Thing. Back in the day, a lot of people were
Mothra as Earth's guardian.
Yeah, a lot of people were, or the human race was like backing on Mothra to save the Earth from Godzilla, and even before that. And ironically, it was King Kong versus Godzilla. I actually, I don't know about that one. I just watched that old school movie not too long ago, and if I recall, it's very similar to the typical plot of King Kong, where, you know, the Americans go to the Skull Island and they take King Kong and they're going to make a profit on him. I think it's like that, only Godzilla kind of interferes and then they fight.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I don't know if I might take back what I was getting at. But definitely Mothra, definitely Mechagodzilla 2.
Yeah, but and that's humans, Godzilla, I said, not humans.
Ah, here we go. Your favorite one, GMK.
True.
Got Guardian Monsters.
True. That one's interesting, too, because that one takes, like, villains and turns them into good guys.
So if you can't tell, folks, you spit listeners out there, we got the deep cuts with the Godzilla. We've been fans, I'll say, all our lives. Seen all the movies. I own all the movies and have been watching them for decades now. And so if we're like spitting out random factoids, all that means is if you catch what movie we're talking about, or if maybe something, some goofy name interests you, look it up.
Yeah, check it out.
Check it out, because these movies are not for everyone, but because some of them are cheesy. Actually, almost all of them are.
Go watch Godzilla vs. Megalon. If you never watched one, go watch Godzilla vs. Megalon on HBO Max.
It's on HBO Max, yeah.
You'll enjoy it. Get real drunk and then watch it. You'll enjoy it.
Hey, speaking of that, you know, you got your sake there?
Yes. More sake.
Get it?
Give a little sip.
A little pour. So here's to Godzilla and all my sweethearts. Oh. May they never meet.
Godzilla and all his monsters.
May they never meet.
May they always meet.
Yeah, let them fight.
Ken Watanabe. We hardly knew thee.
So I mentioned earlier there was the Showa series.
Yes.
Okay. Here in Godzilla 1984, they introduced the Heisei series, which still included the original film, but then they pretended like all the other ones didn't exist. And this one is the sequel.
Semi-rightfully so.
What continued was Godzilla 1984, Godzilla vs. Biollante, which we're going to deep dive here, Godzilla vs. King Ghidorah, Godzilla Mothra Battle for Earth, Godzilla vs. Mechagodzilla Do, Godzilla vs. Space Godzilla, and then it concluded with Godzilla vs. Destroya, the Heisei series. You said Biollante is kind of a turning point. It was a turning point in its own series because initially this movie was not very successful. It didn't make a lot of money in the box office.
It's Godzilla versus a plant. I can't imagine why.
They blamed Biollante. They blamed the creature. And we'll talk about the creature more because, yes, it is a plant, but an impressive plant.
Yeah.
They blamed,
which is doing quite well.
They blame Biollante because it's an unfamiliar, you know, monster. So that's why in the films that followed, King Ghidorah, they brought him back. Godzilla Mothra, you know, they brought back Mothra. And in all these iterations, and Mechagodzilla too, in all these iterations, they had a familiar monster, but they introduced a new one. And Godzilla vs. King Ghidorah. In 1991, they had Mecha King Ghidorah appear. Godzilla and Mothra, Battle for Earth, they had Batra appear. And then Mecha Godzilla 2, they flipped the character. They made him like a mech suit for the military. They had Rodan
in
there.
Is that the first time Rodan was in a Godzilla movie?
No, he's in
Destroy All Monsters.
He's in Destroy All Monsters, and he's in Godzilla vs. Monster Zero.
That's with Gigan, right?
No, that's
original King Ghidorah.
Yeah, that's with King Ghidorah. That's actually the second King Ghidorah one, because the first one is like Godzilla, Mothra, and Anguirus. I think Anguirus. I might be making that up, fighting King Ghidorah. I don't remember.
That might be Destroy All Monsters. Who knows?
Yeah, I think I am thinking of Destroy All Monsters. But yeah, and then with Space Godzilla, they made up a new one. Your dog is sitting there in the background for you spit listeners.
Dead.
She looks like the 2014 Godzilla.
She does.
and Space Godzilla, that movie is rushed, and you can tell when you watch it, because here in the States, they were making a Godzilla movie. So Toho's like, oh, we got to put out a new Godzilla movie to like compete. I don't understand the rights issues or anything. I don't really look into them, but that's why Godzilla for Space Godzilla came out, and it's kind of rushed, but oh well.
He's an awesome monster.
He's awesome looking. And then they are like, we need to close out the series proper, because Godzilla vs. Mechagodzilla 2 was going to be the final Godzilla movie. And then they're like, we're going to make one more. Destroya.
Yeah, and I mean, I grew up loving this series, this era, specifically. And I think, too, like, Biollante, this is one that I told you today. I said, I can't remember the last time I watched this. I will put it into that category of, I've watched it before, but I've never watched it before. As in, I do not remember any of it. And that's true. I did not remember any of it whatsoever. And the idea of this movie is a very interesting one, that they do introduce a psychic. I love the name. I kind of forget exactly what it was, but it was like children with psychic powers and exploitation or something like that. Was like, they had exploitation in there, and I'm like, they're using them for military purposes, and they're just not even hiding it. They're like, we're exploiting these children. That is like literally right in the title.
But we gave them crayons to draw with.
Yeah, I mean, I had the English subtitles on and the English dub, and it's amazing the difference between things that, like,
yeah,
like even the very last sequence between the guy and the girl, when this is skipping way ahead, but the guy and the girl are talking in the car, and the subtitles say, like, I'm gonna go to bed, I haven't slept in days, and the girl says, I'll join you. He's like, now? And she said, I'll go wherever you go. And it was like a very loving moment. In the dub, it's, I think I'll go to bed, haven't slept in days. And she's like, I'll join you. And he says, do you snore? She says, only a little. And they go, ha, ha, ha. Like, it's like, that's a big difference. Do you snore?
Where do they come up with this stuff?
Yeah, it's now you wonder why it's cheesy.
I like to fall asleep to movies. And I go through phases. I typically go through like Lupin the Third phases, James Bond phases, and Godzilla phases. And then it recycles when I fall asleep to. And recently I did Godzilla. And, you know, Godzilla is a loud movie. A lot of monsters fighting, clashing, buildings getting destroyed, lasers being blasted. The lady doesn't like a lot of sound while she's trying to fall asleep. So I turn on the subtitles so I can at least, like, if I'm still up watching it, I can at least read what's happening. And I've noticed it there, like, in almost all the Godzilla movies. The English subtitles are going, but what's being said in English is not the same. Because it's what the subtitles are for the Japanese, you know, translation, or at least as close as they can get it. So that's always a funny little thing to notice with movies like that.
But going back, they have this like organization that trains children with like psychic powers. That's new, an interesting take. And there's this introduction of the fact that after the battle in 1984, where Godzilla fell into a volcano.
Yes.
And that was how they kind of disposed of him. There were cells left over, Godzilla cells, and this research lab basically got their hands on the cells, and there's kind of like this backdrop political thing that I didn't really care about in the movie throughout, where it's like people fighting over the Godzilla cells and like power and dominance over this ability to utilize the Godzilla cells for like advancements in tech. I didn't really care for that, but in the long term, this man's daughter dies, this botanist scientist guy, his daughter dies in a terrorist bombing, to a degree. They're trying to get their hands on the cells. And eventually he comes up with this idea that his, is it, his idea that his daughter's soul, like, transferred into a plant? Is that what it is, or...
I thought it was, Mickey who kind of sensed it, or someone sensed it.
Mickey senses it at the beginning. I mean, he like, brings her in, and the lady asks, like, any reason you want to talk to a rose? He's like, guess it's just my old age.
Yeah. But I do think he blatantly says, like, her soul is infused with the plant's DNA.
Yeah, which doesn't make any sense, but whatever.
Makes a lot of sense to me.
Yeah.
He said it. He's a scientist.
She died inside, like, a botany lab next to roses, so I guess. But
the G-cells.
Yeah, well, then, yeah, so he gets the G-cells, and he takes the rose because the rose is going to die, and he fuses it together to make a plant that will never die, but that plant basically just turns into Plant Godzilla. That's what they should have called him, Plant Godzilla.
That would have been badass.
Weed Godzilla.
Hey, you get a lot more people seeing this movie then.
Godzilla. And
really?
From that, they make, Biollante. And Biollante is really, at first, it is a stupid, like, if I pitched it to you, if I elevated pitched it to you, I say, all right, we have a doctor, he infuses a rose with Godzilla cells to make a hybrid plant, and this hybrid plant turns into a monster, and this plant is able to fight Godzilla. That's terrible sounding. But I think Biollante's later monster design, toward the end of the movie, is really, really cool. Like, really intimidating, really, really cool. Early design, when he's just like a standing big chode of a rose, not as great.
If you would have pitched me that plant idea, I would have said,
"Let's do it."
I would have said, "What you've just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I've ever heard." At no point in your rambling, incoherent response were you even close to anything that could be considered a rational thought. Everyone in this room is now dumber for having listened to it. I award you no points, and may God have mercy on your soul. And then that soul turns into Biollante.
That's what Professor McGonagall said to Harry after after they killed the troll, or knocked the troll out, right?
Yeah, and then she instead of saying no points, she takes 10 points.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Something.
If you pitched that to me, I would have been like, that's a little weird for a Godzilla movie. Yeah. Now, hindsight, yeah. But this is like one of those like memory stories. Big on Godzilla. I think I hit my peak love of Godzilla when I was about 12, 13.
Right, it was like age.
Yeah, that's like all I talked about. That's all I was interested in.
You're making stories.
Making up stories, like my own Godzilla movie ideas. Isn't and monsters. Gorg? Gorg.
I do like that one, Gorg. Father Godzilla.
Yeah, Atomica.
I like Atomica, too. Atomica ties into a movie that we've watched on this podcast. Gus had an idea for basically what if Tremors fought Godzilla.
Hell yeah.
Like the movie Tremors, which I got Tremors vibes from this movie with the little graboid things, you know.
The little tentacles, yeah, like being the tongues of the graboid, kind of. Yeah. But... I would get on eBay all the time and like buy Godzilla
things in English pounds.
Yeah, that's true too. Like, oh, this is only $10. I buy it, and then it turns out it's like $20, and I sent them the wrong amount because it was in English pounds. And so yeah, when I was young, I was all about Godzilla, and I wasn't on the internet too much because it wasn't really that thing, and I dial up and all that crap. So a lot of like newer Godzilla movies or like less known Godzilla movies I didn't know too much about, but my knowledge of Godzilla was really what I could find at the local video store, right? And they had a fair amount. We would rent a bunch. There you could rent like Godzilla in 1985. I think there was King Ghidorah there, but and then there was a bunch of old ones. We went eventually, a video warehouse opened in our town, and I remember looking at the Godzilla movies, and I think at the time we were getting DVDs, so I was only looking at the DVDs. But I remember seeing Godzilla vs. Biollante for the first time. I had never heard of it. And I grabbed, it was on VHS. That's why I hadn't seen it yet, because I was only looking at the DVDs. Grab the VHS of it, and if anyone listening Googles Godzilla vs. Biollante poster, you'll see what the cover of this VHS looked like, and it looks awesome. So you pitching the goofy plant monster, I'd be like, eh. But when you look at the case to this movie, you're like, holy shit, that looks pretty cool. And I remember that moment very vividly of seeing this VHS case, be like, what is this? This looks amazing. And renting it and taking it home, and only then realizing it was a sequel to the 1984 or 1985 Godzilla that I'd seen so many times, because it starts with where the last movie ended, as well as bringing back the military machine, the Super X.
Super X 2.
This is Super X 2 in this one. And yeah, as a kid watching that, loved it. I remember getting my friends into Godzilla 2 and inviting them over and renting this movie and kind of having like an event of it. I think that was the last time I had watched this movie as well. I remember, you know, we bringing a TV into my bedroom and putting it on top of my toy box and, you know, getting the sleeping bags, and me and my two buddies would just watch Godzilla movies, and including this one. That was the last time I remember watching this movie.
Well, it's much better. I just looked up that poster, and it's much better than the DVD cover. That,
yes, it is.
Barely shows Biollante, just kind of shows Godzilla and some helicopters, and says, the Super Beast Battle of the Century.
That's a pretty badass tagline, but yeah, it's the DVD box art is, it looks like generic McGee, whereas...
generic Mickey Sagusa?
Whereas the original poster is pretty badass.
Yeah. And yeah, so I mean, that is a weird idea. Like, you got psychics, you got scientists with infusing plants with Godzilla DNA, and like underlying like business politics of like trying to get their hands on and monopolizing these Godzilla cells so that they can, you know, corner the market and create things with these cells that are highly regenerative and all this other stuff. And
there's like a spy thriller subplot.
Yeah.
Like assassin dude who looks like he weighs 105 pounds soaking wet.
But damn it, he dresses cool.
Yeah, he does.
He dresses like Hacker Man. That, I mean, there, and that is kind of an underlining tone, like this American company wants to get their hands on the G-cells, so they're like sabotaging things, they're making threats, they're saying, you know, we'll blow up the volcano, release Godzilla from the volcano so that he can wreak terror, and they kind of do that. And like, there's things like that throughout. And the whole underlining tone of this movie, much like the original Godzilla, which was very much about like the you know, war being a bad thing and the dangers of nuclear power, and
the follies of man.
Yeah, this one has a very, very similar in terms of like, you know, you're destroying environment, destroying each other just for, you know, profit and benefit and things of that nature. They make a couple moments where they're like, oh, our land is full of oil, and things like that.
And even the folly of man, continuing this with our main doctor dude, basically creating an organism that should never have existed, kind of playing God. And then, you know, I guess, I mean, I was going to say the suffering from the benefits of it. But Biollante doesn't really cause any destruction. No. Yes, it kills some intruders, and then it does become a giant beast monster to fight Godzilla. So when you look at Biollante, if anyone just checks it out or checks out this movie, it has a few forms. Its first form being just like a rose monster, but then it turns into the biggest, like, puppeteered kaiju suit ever created.
He's awesome looking.
Yeah, it took like 20 crew members rather, to make this thing move. And it, yeah, you're right. It is badass. It's one of my favorite looking monsters.
I mean, I love the way it moved too. Like, it looked realistic enough.
Yeah.
Moving and, yeah, I thought it looked cool, throughout. It's, and I mean, that's kind of what's interesting about this movie is that the fight between Godzilla and Biollante isn't necessarily the key point to this movie. I mean, the idea is that Godzilla is on his way to destroy Tokyo again, and kind of gets changed. I believe he ends up in Osaka, which is kind of toward the bottom of Japan. And he's, or I think anyways, Miki Sagusa, there's like a subplot with her being able to kind of speak with him, Godzilla, and sense him and kind of reduce his ability to destroy things. And it's, there's like that, there's they bring back the Super X, and they've updated the Super X 2 to fight Godzilla, which is a machine they built in Godzilla 1984 to fight him. And like, so there's all these different like usual suspects of Godzilla plot lines of like, how can the humans stop Godzilla from just wreaking havoc? And then this introduces a monster yet again that is equal in power to Godzilla, and you know, who's gonna win kind of deal. And they even say at one point, they say, you know, Godzilla and Biollante, they come toe to toe for the first time, and they say our opponent will be whoever wins this fight. And yeah, that is what happens. You know, Godzilla very quickly kills Biollante. He just zaps him with his beam and burns him because he's a plant. Or she's a plant.
Yeah. That's another big point. Biollante is one of very few, female, like in the Godzilla franchise, yeah, female kaijus.
Yeah, because Mothra, and then
I think that's about it.
Yeah, Mothra and Biollante.
Mothra and Biollante, at least to my, what my, where my brain's sitting right now.
Yeah, but it just yeah, he kills Biollante really quick, and then they go on to fight Godzilla. And I do really like the weapon that they introduce in this one. It's a nuclear eating bacteria, because Godzilla is generally powered by nuclear power. They create this bacteria that will be able to eat nuclear substances, nuclear properties. And so they're going to basically try and inject him with it, or hit him with it, to the point where these nuclear bacteria will eat him alive, or eat him from the inside out. And they do hit him with it, but his temperature is so low, the bacteria don't work right away. And I do like that idea, though. That's an interesting take, like creating these microorganisms that will kill him. It's very similar to the oxygen destroyer, in terms of efficacy and like what they try to do, like reducing him down. Like, I like that better than freezing him, which is a common Godzilla weapon, or Godzilla versus Megaguirus, with the black hole gun, shoot a black hole on Earth and suck them in. I like this idea.
Yeah, it is a fresh idea into a franchise at this point that had been going since 1954. And yes, I say fresh, but it is similar to the oxygen destroyer. But interesting nonetheless. The one subplot that kind of revolves around this and the G cells and everything that comes with it is, I explained it as like a spy thriller subplot. The director of this movie, I'm going to butcher his name, but it's like Kazuki Omari. I didn't butcher it at all. I nailed it. He always wanted to make a James Bond film. So this was like his big movie, Godzilla, big Godzilla movie.
Bond.
Who will win? So yeah, that's why those elements are kind of not shoehorned in, but they're in there. They're in there nice deep.
If it was Pierce's James Bond, he would be on top of Mechagodzilla riding him like a tank.
Yeah, it would
he'd
be
cause
badass.
Just as much destruction to Tokyo as Godzilla.
What is it with you and moving vehicles?
He'd just be riding on the back.
I was gonna do it. A Timothy Dalton impression, but I couldn't think of anything that he would ride. He'd ride Rodan like a gazelle. Which doesn't make much sense because Rodan flies.
But Timothy George Dalton Lazenby would ride Anguirus on his spiky ass.
He'd be like, something is firmly in my rectum. Must be a horn.
Sean Connery would be a dragon.
Sean Connery would be the kaiju.
Like, Godzilla versus Drago.
Like, Drago, where are you taking Godzilla? Like, has Godzilla wrapped firmly around its tail. He's like, to the fucking stash.
He flies away. Yes, but what about Roger Moore? We left Roger Moore and Daniel Craig out.
Oh, Roger Moore, he would just flirt with Godzilla. He'd
talk him down.
He'd talk him down, of course.
Daniel Craig would just fight him. Fists.
He'd drink with him.
Well, I don't know. He'd fight him. He'd fight him with his fists. He'd like try and drown Godzilla in the ocean, like in the beginning of Casino Royale.
How did he die? He didn't.
Yeah. How he gets status at 00? Well, you got to kill Godzilla first.
That's why only 7 people have done it.
That's false. I think there is a 008 and a 009. I'm pretty sure 009 is who shoots Bernard.
Yeah, there's a lot of 00s. I was thinking 007.
And you just have to kill 2 people to become a 00?
That's what they say. You got to do a couple missions and stuff. But yeah.
No, you just got to kill 2 people.
That's it. It doesn't matter who.
That's it. Yeah. This introduces that antibacteria gun idea. I like that as like a weapon to beat Godzilla. It's unique. And really getting like down to it, I said this to you. You said, did you blink and miss the whole fight? Because the final fight is very short. It's only like 10 minutes long. I actually paused it because I had to go do something. And I realized that I only had like, it was right when Biollante showed up, and I was, I think, an hour and 31 minutes in, and the movie's an hour and 44 minutes long. Yeah. So it's like, it was almost, blink and you miss it. Yeah, the final fight between them, because after Godzilla and Biollante meet the first time, and Godzilla burns him to death, because again, he's a fucking plant, or she's a fucking plant, he proceeds to fight the military. And that's kind of interesting again, too, but you wonder, like, you just had Godzilla 1984, where he only fights the military, and now you're doing more of the same again. In a movie that's so unique, they don't spend a lot of time on its most unique aspect of Godzilla fighting this monster, this plant monster. Instead, it's Godzilla versus military for basically 20 to 30 more minutes, and then you get the most unique aspect again, and there was more I feel they could have done, because I did like it. And it just kind of ends in a wet fart of a fight. Like, there's no clear winner at the end. They just both, basically, to a degree, the way it's until like the very, very end, they just both die.
I had to rewind it because I haven't seen this movie in so long. They fought and then does some military subplot stuff. And then I was like, wait, who won in that fight? Like, I don't even remember. I had to rewind it and see what happened between the two monsters fighting. I mean, the reason Biollante, especially the final form, is so short in like screen time is because, as we mentioned, it was so hard to puppeteer that thing, and it was so problematic. And I think it has the record, because you know how they made things move? They use piano wire.
It's pita bread. Pita bread and Pazelle cookies.
Because they're real tough. and it has a record for most piano wire used for a single like kaiju.
Jim had it in there.
Yeah, he'd figure it out. Hell, today this whole monster would be CGI.
Oh, yeah. I wouldn't mind seeing today's Godzilla fight Biollante. Explain that one. They'd say he's a titan. I'm like, this thing's been living under Earth.
This thing is the Earth.
Yeah. Godzilla versus Earth.
I mean, that'd be pretty cool. I would like to see Biollante return. A lot of other monsters get like a second chance or just like a revamped version of an old version. I would like to see
Biollante. How many times have we gotten Mechagodzilla, King Ghidorah, Rodan's even had a decent amount now, and Anguirus got a decent amount in the older movies.
It's called the Big Five, Godzilla Big Five. You mentioned most of them. You got King Ghidorah, Mechagodzilla, Mothra. Who else did you say?
Rodan.
Is it Anguirus?
Gigan. I think Gigan's been in more. Gigan's been in a handful.
Gigan's been in three total.
He's in Godzilla versus the Cosmic Monster?
No. He's in
Godzilla Gigan.
And then Godzilla versus Megalon.
No, and then Final Wars. He's like the main guy
and
in Final
Wars. Yeah, there's three. Yeah, I said three.
Is he in Destroy All Monsters?
No.
Huh.
He came out after Destroy All Monsters.
Gotcha.
Let me see. Godzilla Big Five. Toho Big Five. It's Godzilla himself.
Stupid. Godzilla and then the Ziller. Can you explain to me why do they insist on the English dub, like the English dub voice actors? Why do they insist on saying Godzilla?
I don't think they are, but it does sound like it.
Yeah.
It's that one voice actor.
He's like,
we have to stop Godzilla.
Yeah, I guess it's just like a Pittsburgh thing, kind of, maybe.
He's
Godzilla.
Some twang.
Godzilla, I mean, Pittsburgh, you can't even say Godzilla with a Pittsburgh accent, because it ends in an "ah" anyways.
Godzilla.
Yeah, you can't really, I mean, you can give it an accent, but you can't change it. It's not like King Kang.
King Kang. King Kang, come on down.
Godzilla versus King Kang.
One will fall. What the fuck was that sound like?
That was New York.
Sound like
one
Kurt
gonna
Russell.
Fall real quick.
One will fall.
Jesus. Yeah, but it is a blink and you miss it moment because was a sergeant or a general or something does get a direct hit into the mouth of Godzilla with those anti-nuclear eating, you know, bacteria. And Godzilla is basically, they're slowly eating away at Godzilla, but due to his body temperature, which I thought was interesting because they say his body temperature is very low in this movie. But normally in other Godzilla movies, and this is how much we watch Godzilla movies, they always say his body temperature is really hot, especially in Destroyer when they talk about his body temperature being like ridiculously hot.
I wonder why it's hot in that movie.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. But, still, like, his body temperature, it's interesting to think. But he ends up fighting Biollante, and they're having this fight, and the fight's pretty good. Like, I liked what was going on. I did like this, too. I don't know if this resonated with you at all. It resonated with me. But, I mean, Biollante was, like, impaling Godzilla. And, yeah, I mean, historically, like, Godzilla has, like, skin that is way too tough. But Biollante was going through him, like, Crap through a goose. Yeah, he's getting right in there. And that's, like, historically, whether, you know, whatever canon you're looking at or whatever version of Godzilla, it's like he regenerates way too fast. Or he's just impervious to anything that isn't, like, kind of like Superman with a kryptonite. Like, impervious to anything that isn't, like, you know, a similar substance to himself. And Biollante was him, technically. It was Planet Godzilla. I think they say that. They say it's not, like, they're of the same DNA code. So he's not, they said, not brother and sister, but the same beast. Just a different makeup, so to speak. And, yeah.
Where are these taglines? That would have been great.
Yeah. Biollante is, like, able to go toe-to-toe in the second form. And I like that. And that's why I was upset that there isn't, a final bit. I even thought, there's a part where Biollante is, like, eating Godzilla almost, like, trying to eat him. And I was like, this would be a badass moment if Godzilla just charged up his beam and zapped him and just killed him, very akin to Godzilla 2014 with the Muto. He doesn't. He just gets out and just kind of stumbles a little bit, and then they're like, look, the bacteria is taking his course. If they didn't tell me that, I wouldn't know. I'd be like, what the fuck's going on? And he just stumbles and falls over. Yeah, that's what it looks like. And he just stumbles and falls over, and then Biollante just disappears, like disintegrates into the sky. And you get a really weird shot of like the guy's daughter just like translucent in the sky.
Surface,
I'm like, okay, I guess. It's weird to think about, and it's just a weird series of events. And then the doctor gets shot and killed by the assassin guy that's been throughout the movie. That and then
he dies real good though.
Yeah, one of our main characters chases him, and they're fighting over a gun, and they end up. Those are like mines, right? They were like electrical mines that were set to stop Godzilla's advance. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that guy steps on one, and the military officer that we've been following throughout the movie zaps him real good and kills him.
She got him good.
Yeah. Was it weird, though, that when I saw that, I was like, was that a teleporter? I was like, where'd he go? And then I realized he just got zapped to nothingness. Yeah, and then Godzilla comes back, and they say, like, ah, oh, the water must have cooled him off. I'm like, his head was literally in the water. That was it. Like, just his head. But yeah, Godzilla logic wanders off.
That's the best way to enjoy every Godzilla movie, is don't question the logic. Yet.
Just enjoy the cheese.
Yeah, all cheese is good. Sometimes it's stinky, but probably tastes pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah. So this movie, it's not my favorite. It's not my least favorite. It has one of my favorite moments in any Godzilla movie. Mm.
Yeah, we didn't touch on that.
Yeah, as you mentioned, this movie is a sequel to 1984, where Godzilla falls into, is it Mount Fuji?
No, it's Mount it's not Mount Fuji.
Falls into a volcano, and that's how that movie ends. So you're left to believe that he either died or is trapped in there. This movie, Mickey, who they introduce, who's clairvoyant, can sense Godzilla. He can sense him, knows he's alive or maybe coming back. And then it goes to that school that you mentioned. What was it called again?
The School for Children and Exploitation or some shit.
Yeah.
I'll look at it. I'm very curious as to what this school was called.
It's a classroom full of children, and they're drawing. And the teacher is like, oh, we're doing an activity where the children draw what they saw in their dreams. And then with Mickey being there, and then the teacher's like, all right, children, let's see what you dreamt about. And they all hand up their pictures like, yeah. And it's pictures, all of them are pictures of Godzilla. And the music kicks in. And I'm getting goosebumps just talking about it. It's such a good moment. And it's in this movie. I do recommend people check out Godzilla vs. Biollante. As you mentioned, it's very hard to find. But if you do stumble upon it anytime in your life, check it out. I say all Godzilla movies, the Heisei era, is a personal favorite of mine. I feel like those are the strongest films in the series. I just like the tone of them. I like the flow of all of them. There is more after that, the Millennium series. In fact, in Godzilla 2000, what you said you wanted Godzilla to do to Biollante, Godzilla does the villain in that movie, Orga. Orga's trying to eat Godzilla to absorb him, to become Godzilla, and Godzilla just fucking rips him right in the mush. That's good stuff, too. Talk about Godzilla all day. I believe if anyone cares to, I think Gus's Story Time Volume 2 is all about Godzilla. And that might have been in preparation for King of Monsters when that came out a couple years ago. We've been doing this podcast for a long time.
Yeah, man.
Three years. What is it? September? We'll be entering our fourth year. September, August. Which is bonkers. But yeah, for Ben's birthday month, and with Godzilla versus Kong being nigh, let him choose what Godzilla movie he wanted to talk about, revisit in fact, and he chose Godzilla versus Biollante.
Indeed, Bill. And here we did, and what a ride it was. But now we find our way to a very unique Godzilla factory. If I'm not mistaken, this factory is going to be a bit of a smaller one, probably more of a discussion, if not anything. But generally what we do in this portion of the show, this is where we take the film we just watched and we imagine what it would look like if it came out today. Who would direct it? Who would compose it? Who would star? Same film, same story, just modern booking for the modern era. Now, like I said at the beginning of the show, just in reverse order, I'll say it right this time. Like a Charmander to a Charmeleon, like a Charmeleon to a Charizard, the show has evolved. We change it up every now and again with the way we do things. We've had retro castings where we imagine the movie came out in the past. We've done castings of WWE superstars such as Little Rascals and doing it, imagining what WWE wrestlers would play the Little Rascals. And we've done different things of that nature, like imagining what an anime would look like if it came out live action. So very similar, we got Godzilla versus King Kong. Godzilla has this laundry list of monsters, other kaiju that he has fought. King Kong, on the other hand, has only fought, if I'm not mistaken, Godzilla. And is there a Mecha King Kong? Did King Kong fight Mecha King Kong at one point?
In King Kong Escapes, which is a Japanese King Kong movie.
Yeah, and then you have the skull crusher things from Kong Skull Island, whatever their names were.
Skull crawlers.
Skull crawlers. You had them. You have him.
He fights Godzilla. A big-ass octopus in Godzilla vs. Kong, too. And some dinosaurs in the
original.
Yeah, that's
what I was going to say. Yeah, and even in Peter Jackson's Kong, he fights like a T-Rex, doesn't he?
Oh, yeah.
And like some other big-ass spiders, big damn ants. But never like iconic. Like even the skull crawlers, you don't look at those and say like those are iconic. Whereas like in Godzilla 2014, I like the Mudos. I think they're a very interesting take. I like what they do. And so we're gonna imagine today what other kaiju will we enjoy seeing King Kong go up against? Who would be a match for King Kong?
And we say kaiju, we. It could be any kind of like giant monster, typically, preferably guy in a suit, but what have you. That's just preferably.
Yeah. So, first and foremost, I feel like, you know, we'd have obvious choices like King Ghidorah or, you know, one that always pops into mind and I always think is ridiculous is Mothra, because Mothra is like one of the biggest, is the queen of the monsters, if you will. But I always think I had this image of King Kong in my head when I thought of this, King Kong sitting like Indian style, just ripping the wings off of Mothra.
Pretty sick, Chubbs.
I know, that's what would happen.
A lot of people would think that would happen with Godzilla versus King Kong. Godzilla would be sitting there with just plucking his arms off.
Godzilla versus Mothra, but it never does.
Yeah, you're right. I was thinking of this question, and there's a bunch of monsters I think would be cool if King Kong faced, but a lot of them, I'm like, yeah, they would just kill King Kong. They're with this new one, that's one I was thinking of in particular. With this new movie coming out, that was a question I had been wondering for a while. Like, how is this big damn ape going to fight Godzilla, who's massive and has atomic breath and is basically invulnerable? And they even the playing field by basically giving Kong this like axe that has one of Godzilla's spines on it that can like absorb Godzilla's energy. So that's interesting.
They give him a big tree to shove down his throat.
Yeah. That's a deep pull.
That's a callback to the original Godzilla vs. King Kong.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, I was thinking Gigan. Gigan has two like hook blades for hands and a buzzsaw in its middle for like in its belly, and it has like a laser eye. So it's like built to kill. And I don't think King Kong would stand a chance against something like that, which is funny to say, because in comparison, like when Godzilla fought him, Gigan doesn't really stand much of a chance. Although I do believe, and I might be mixing my facts, Godzilla vs. Gigan was the first time Godzilla bleeds in the franchise. I could be wrong.
Look at you. I thought, just because he's my favorite Godzilla kaiju, and it's not a good movie. I don't like him for the movie. I like him for his design, and I like him for the way I grew up with this character, and it's Megalon. I think Megalon would be a fun one to fight off against King Kong, because King Kong, you kind of jump around and move a lot and whatnot, and then you have, and that's like, is really strong, obviously, and then you have this beetle who can, like, fly and dig underground, has drills for hands. I think that would be a fun one, but again, you know, he's just going to punch him with his drill hands.
I was thinking of monsters, and that's ultimately the one I think would be the most reasonable slash entertaining is Megalon. Yeah, you know, it was really like a flying one. Megalon came to mind. Megalon also shoots like hockey puck grenades.
Hey, how about
Rodan
Skull would be Island good one. Just happens to be right next door to see Seatopia.
Yeah. Get your face in that microphone a bit more.
I'm back.
Yeah, you're falling away. So yeah, Rodan would be a good one. Who else? Anguirus would be a good one.
Yeah, Anguirus though is kind of small. They'd have to make him like gigantic.
I mean, he's not that small,
as they all do now.
Kong is small.
True. Yeah, I thought that. I even thought someone like I was like thinking I was like Destroya, but then Destroya would just destroy him very quickly. I was like going through all the other ones. Space Godzilla, obviously. Space Godzilla versus King Kong. I mean, that would just be the same thing, right? But I thought about Gamera too, which isn't a Godzilla kaiju, but we do need more Gamera love in the world, because that's maybe a movie we'll watch someday. Not the original Gamera, but the remakes, the trilogy.
Godzilla, Gamera, Guardian of the Universe.
Yeah, because I mean, while I haven't seen that in a very, very long time, I know that it's directed by the guy who did GMK. Godzilla, Mothra, King Ghidorah, my favorite Godzilla movie. So, wouldn't mind giving those a shot again. But yeah, Gamera, I mean, Gamera's just a giant turtle who can... He'd be fun to watch.
He can shoot fire out of his mouth. He can fly. Gamera's pretty cool. Gamera's underrated. Has the old cheesy movies back in the 60s and 70s. And unfortunately, into the 80s, he has one called Super Gamera, which is basically Godzilla's revenge. But
he's the equate Godzilla.
Yeah. But then you got the Heisei series of Gamera, which consists of Gamera, Guardians of the Universe, or Guardian of the Universe, Godzilla vs. Legion, or Godzilla Attack of Legion, Gamera, the sake, what's in it? Apple juice?
Just makes you think about Godzilla.
And then Gamera, Revenge of Iris. I actually rewatched those movies last year, and I say rewatch, but two of them I had never seen before. Pretty damn good. And yeah, I'll let you borrow them, and we'll talk about them on the show someday. But yeah. Gamera is a good pull to fight Kong.
What about Jet Jaguar?
Hey, I'd like that.
Jet Jaguar is basically just Ultraman.
Yeah,
he's like a robot, a human-sized robot that can grow really big, like Ant-Man. Think Ant-Man, but a robot.
Do you remember the Jet Jaguar theme?
No, I just remember saying Jet Jaguar.
I don't remember how it goes exactly, but it's like Jet Jaga, Jet Jaga.
Thank God.
Jet Jaga, and then it goes to credits.
Thank God.
Hey, he's gonna make a big comeback in that Godzilla anime coming out.
I want Godzilla Earth to face King Kong. steps on him.
I want Godzilla vs. Kong, which is premiering tomorrow, to play out like Godzilla versus Bambi. Or Godzilla meets Bambi. Yeah.
What was that? Was that before the original Godzilla in America?
That was before 1984 or 1985. when it played in theaters, Godzilla 1985, that was the short film that played before it.
Bet that made some parents happy.
Yeah. It's pretty awesome. I remember showing that in school. It was like, I don't remember, it was like a slow day, and the teachers were like, I guess we... And I was like, I have a movie in my backpack, and it was Godzilla 1985. And it was our class and the class above us, we watched that movie. And I remember when it was Godzilla Meets Bambi playing, like, the whole class, like, cheered.
And you're like, you sick fucks.
I was like, I'm the hero.
This is actually how Godzilla's mom died.
Yeah.
Godzilla vs. Megalon would probably be the safe bet, so to speak. You can hit us up if you think that's not correctly, not the correct choice, if you will. But with that being said, are you ready to close out the show?
Indeed.
So that is the show, everyone. We hope you enjoyed it. If you liked what you heard, be sure to check us out over on Audioboom. That's our primary site. That's where we'll be posting to first, and then subsequently it gets shipped out everywhere else. So Spotify, Google Play, Stitcher, iTunes, wherever you get your podcasts, hey, we're there. You can also find us over on Twitter. We are at The Bros Movie Pod. That's where we'll be posting links to the show, clips, and things that Gus makes, such as memes and images and things of that nature. You can also find us over on Facebook.
Hey, if you come to Facebook and you type in the Brothers Movie Factory, you'll see it. You'll see our icon. Click it and join along. See what kind of memes I'm making about the movies we're watching each and every week. And I'll include those links Ben mentioned a moment ago, like Audioboom, Spotify, Twitter, and that.
So that is the show. We hope you enjoyed it. But until next week, brothers.
Brothers.
Brothers. I'm Mickey Sagusa. I'm Japanese.
It's Emmy. I'm Emmy. I'm Japanese.
Emmy. How?
Let's sing.
Oh, really? Prove it.